Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for this third Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I am made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you heard a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked man turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in the righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks on the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they are written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Complete this moral admonishment. Just remember when you point your finger. Yep, there are three of them are pointing right back at you. So that's the theme on the screen there. I don't know how many of you look at the screen on a regular basis, but I would guess that if you do, you weren't real comfortable with this one. The only thing I think that would have made this picture better, I love the creepy guy in the background in the shadows, that accusation. If the hand was just a little bit lower, it would appear like it was pointing right at you no matter where you're sitting. We're not comfortable with that. Our gospel reading today talks a little bit about finger pointing, but it does more than just give us a moral admonishment. It calls us constantly to repentance. Jesus is with a group of people. It's interesting the way it's described, not necessarily disciples, but a group of people. And he's been teaching them that they should understand the times. And it seems sort of like the people, somebody in the group, brings sort of a test case to Jesus. Jesus, let me see, are we understanding this right? You see, there is this tragedy that happened. Pilate, same Pilate that would ultimately condemn Jesus to death, he has had some of his soldiers go into the synagogue or into the temple and murder some people from Galilee. The soldiers came in and killed them right there during the service. It's a horrible thing. So the crowds are wondering, you know, did this happen because these Galileans were such bad people? Maybe it was punishment for their sin? It's easy for us to wonder the same type of thing. Very easy for us to quickly point the finger. We look at other people's lives, the problems they have, and we wonder, is God punishing them? We see people struggling, and we think, well, you know, maybe they brought us on themselves. Maybe God's giving them a taste of their own medicine, or he's teaching them a lesson. As the people gather around Jesus, we're focused on the sins of other people. Jesus answered them that this horrible tragedy was not because they were worse sinners. In fact, Jesus flat out told the people, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus takes the focus of this off the sins of other people and it puts it right back on their own sins. Instead of looking at the shortcomings of these Galileans, the crowd that's surrounding Jesus presenting this quandary to him, they need to own up to their own failures. And Jesus follows up with his own example. There was a tower in Siloam, which is in Jerusalem, and something happened. The building fell down and killed 18 people. Instead of focusing on the accident that happened over there to those people, Jesus brings it home. He looks at it as an example of something horrible happening right there in Jerusalem to fellow believers. Yet did this tragedy happen because they were so bad that God was judging them? Jesus again answers, "No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Again, Jesus takes the focus off of the sins of other people and directs the attention of the crowd to their own sins. And so it is for us. When we see things happening in the world, disasters, big or small, it is so easy for us to make quick judgments, to point the finger, to talk about how they're getting their just desserts. And we can even do this with other Christians. Something happens and our sinful nature starts to wonder, what do they do to deserve that? Well, I thought they were Christians. If they were Christians, something like that shouldn't have happened. They must have done something wrong. So Jesus speaks to us out of the pages of the Bible and says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus takes the focus off the faults and the flaws of others, and he would draw our attention to our own faults and flaws. And you know, what about when tragedy strikes us? You know, when we've spent enough time pointing the finger that those other three reveal their worst side. God, what did I do to deserve this? Our instinct is to protest how unfair it is, how innocent we are. We did nothing to deserve something like this, God. One really sharp case I remember was a family, a close family friend who's received the news, I think their daughter-in-law had lupus, I think is what it was. But she lamented to my mom, "How could this happen to our family? We pray all the time." It's hard to hear. But when the accusation of the three turn on us, Jesus' words are the same to us then. Repent. Repent, not necessarily because there is a certain sin that brought on this particular tragedy or trouble, but repent. Repent knowing that you are part of a sin-infected, sin-corrupted world. Repent of those accusations you would level against God so easily and so quickly. Repent that even in the midst of the trouble or tragedy, you would still have life. Jesus continues his conversation with a story that helps drive home his point. There's a man who owned a vineyard, and the vineyard in the vineyard was a tree. And this was no normal fig tree. This tree was particularly worthless. It didn't produce fruit. 3 years after the owner is expecting fruit, still it didn't have a trace of fruit on it. When you have an orchard, when you have a vineyard, you just can't have trees that are not producing. It's a waste of space. It's just taking up nutrients that could be going to the other trees that are producing fruit. This owner has been patient for 3 years. He's been paying a gardener to take care of this tree, even though it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And even on top of that, when it comes to finally throwing in the towel, telling him to cut down the tree, the gardener volunteers to do even more work, to buy that tree even more time. Of course, Jesus isn't telling this parable about a fig tree to give us advice on how to garden, but rather to make the point. God is the owner of the vineyard, and the people are the tree. God has been very patient with his people, even though they reject him, Even though they don't produce the fruit of living the way they were supposed to, he's been patient with them year after year. He delays the judgment they deserve. And that also is true of us. God is patient with us. Because the fact is that we should see ourselves as that fig tree that doesn't produce figs. God lays out a plan for our life. He tells us the things that we ought to be doing and the things we ought not to be doing or thinking or saying. And we fall short every time. Every single one of us sins against God and does what deserves punishment. And yet, God doesn't quite throw in the towel. In fact, the gardener went to the vineyard owner and volunteered to do more work in order to buy time for that tree. Well, in that way, Jesus has also stepped in. In fact, he does more than just buy time. He permanently delays the punishment we deserve. Jesus, he is the fig tree that lived his life perfectly like he was supposed to, that he produced all the right fruit, and yet, he went to the cross. He was the one chopped down and punished as if everything were his fault. He assumed the responsibility for the guilt of our sin, for the judgment of our sin, and for its punishment. Because of his love for us, Jesus won forgiveness for all of our faults, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings. And the very good news that we celebrate all the time, when we call people to repentance, it's not to make you just feel bad. It's to prepare you to hear the very good news that as we confess to God our failures, as we confess how we have not borne the fruit that he desires of us, he gives us forgiveness. For the sake of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the judgment of our sins have fallen on him, on his shoulders, and not ours. And blessing upon blessing, God not only forgives our sin, he gives to us eternal life. The fact is, one day we will die. It might be from some great evil that somebody else is committing. It might be from the groanings of this world that we call natural disasters. It may simply be because we are sinners. But for the sake of Jesus, we have the promise of life. Life with God forever. The promise that when Christ comes again, we who have died because of our sin, we will live with him again. This time in a world free of sin, free of the tragedies and the horrible things that come in this world because of sin. This is the certain hope that we have in Jesus, our Savior. And this is the certain hope that sustains us in times of tragedies. And this is the certain hope we turn to when we recognize our sin and repent of it. In the meantime, tragedies and horrible things will continue to happen in this life. We still will read about and hear about things like war in Ukraine and in Gaza, destructive storms cutting swaths across our countries and other countries and states. Terrible things may happen even closer to home. Sicknesses, problems, the death of loved ones. And when we're tempted to wonder why these things happen or to render the judgment of a pointed finger, we're called to remember more than just the three that are pointing back at us. We're called to hear Jesus' words, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." When we see tragedies, it's not a time of accusation. It's a time of repentance, of returning to God, confessing our own sin and our own need, and to trust in his promised forgiveness and life. As Pastor was reading the epistle reading Sometimes we get so focused on what we're doing that we forget about the other readings. We have this wonderful promise that God is faithful. And one of the things about 1 Corinthians is the word is translated as temptations, and we see it, and that's probably a good translation, but the same word also can be translated as trials, as troubles, as tests. And the good news is our God is faithful. He strengthens us to endure it. And in fact, His strength endures beyond all trouble and endures to life eternal. That's our good news. And that's the word we hear every time we turn to in repentance to our God. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ, who is your Savior, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.